Hello and welcome back, and thanks for listening to Techonomics. I'm the host, Jason Middleton. Back in the day, a friend of mine once advised that the best gift-giving pattern for a significant other was to alternate between jewelry and consumer electronics, and frankly, I've stuck to it ever since. But what to do when the gift recipient is a child? Kids are drawn to tech for the same reasons we are. They're flashy screens that can be very effective tools, even if they are presently designed to keep us addicted and engaged. As kids start the new year, many may have received tech devices as new or hand-me-down holiday gifts. Studies show that high-quality digital content can help boost children's learning and that parental engagement in that learning plays a critical role in giving kids a strong academic start. Next up is a digital expert who comes loaded with data from PBS Kids. Here we go.
Sarah DeWitt, PBS Kids Digital.
Sarah, thank you so much for your time this morning. I'm going to lead with my personal front page kind of thing, okay? I think this is, how can I say this in case she hears it? Santa gave my daughter an iPad for Christmas this year. Let's just start there. What do parents really need in a macro sense to know when it comes to new tech for kids?
Well, definitely parents should be thinking about ways that they can better understand what their kids are doing and be a part of the decisions their kids are making. So I would say Santa was pretty smart to give your kid an iPad because that's a nice big screen. It's easy for her to use, but it also means if she's sitting in a public place, which is what we definitely recommend, making sure that when kids are playing, they're playing in a big open space in their family's houses. When she's playing, you can walk by and that screen is big enough for you to see what she's doing.
That's
and
a
you
great
can also
point.
Hear what's going on. So that way you have a little bit of insight. And what that also means is you can then build on that later. If you walk by and you see she's playing a building game, you can afterwards when she's done say, hey, what were you building? And then try to draw out a conversation. We have done a lot of research that has showed that when parents talk to kids about what they do with technology, whether it's playing a game or even just watching a show, any educational gains are boosted. They're greater if the child had a conversation about what they did. And I think this is also really great for the parents. It's a chance to bond a bit about what they played. It's really fun to talk to your kids about the games they're playing and to see how they mastered a level. But it's also really helping them work on their communication skills, on their critical thinking skills, and setting up this habit for the family that technology is something that we talk about. It's not something that you go do off on your own. It's something that is worth having conversation and kind of dissecting together. It's a good opportunity for you to talk.
What do you think about screen time writ large?
Well, there's no perfect answer for every kid. So this is the hard thing. People always want just like a number, how much is okay. Really, it's going to vary from kid to kid. And so what you want to do is really think about what you know about your child. So I have a 7-year-old who would sit on that iPad all day if I gave him the chance. And so he needs really hard limits. We set up what times of week. Tuesday nights when I'm getting dinner ready, that's one of his iPad times, one of his blocks where he can play. And so we set up really specific times. Now my 4-year-old, he'll watch for a little bit, but then he'll wander off and go play with something else. He doesn't need those same kinds of limits. He also can leave the screen experience more easily than my older one. So it means that we need to be fair between the two, but also you kind of have to think about what makes the most sense for your kids.
Okay.
And for a lot of kids, making sure that screen time is set up as part of a routine instead of just something to fill time.
Right.
Is a great way to start setting up a healthy habit. I know there's a real tendency when a parent is busy and in the middle of something to just hand a kid a tablet and say, here, play with this for a few minutes while I finish whatever I'm doing. That's not the best scenario because it means it's going to be harder for them to give it up when they're done because it wasn't really scheduled. And also, you don't necessarily know what they're doing. So if you can think ahead the way you would do meal planning or how you plan school pickups, think ahead a little bit and think, what are going to be the times this week when I'm going to be most stressed and need a few minutes? And then establish with your kids, that's the time when you can play.
Very cool. Then
when you're done, we're going to talk about it.
Okay, cool. Yeah, Minecraft is a big hit in my house, and I'm happy about that. I like building things and not destroying things is always cool.
Yes.
I guess I have another macro kind of question before we dig into a little bit deeper. But what about exposure to screens and technology? What's an age range?
So the American Academy of Pediatrics released some new rules not long ago, and the Fred Rogers Center for Media has put some out too. And they're both kind of agree that around 18 months is okay to start doing like FaceTiming and video conferencing, looking at other people. That's especially great when you have grandparents that live far away. But that at age two is really the time to begin, that it's a little safer to begin introducing this kind of thing. And it really kind of comes back again to thinking about the content, making sure you're choosing content that is educational and age appropriate for your kid, and thinking about the context, like when are they going to play, and when are we going to establish appropriate times. It's also important for people to remember it's not just the kids' direct exposure to screens, but how often the kids are seeing you with screens. And so parents of young children should be thinking really carefully about their own media habits. Do you just pull out your phone every time you have downtime? If that's the case, maybe you want to try to stop doing that a little bit, or really narrating what you're doing. Like, oh, I'm going to get out my phone right now because I need to look up the directions to the playground, and the phone will show me where it is. So that helps the kid understand, oh, this is a tool that my parent is using for a specific purpose, and in the future they'll remember, oh, I can get maps on that. So you're kind of setting up good screen habits early by modeling what you do with them.
Let's talk about what PBS Kids supplies to parents. I mean, you've been talking with us here, obviously, but there are other tools available, yes?
Yes. So if you're looking for just a good, safe place for your kids to play where they have a lot of variety, the PBS Kids Games app is built with teachers and advisors and educational experts, and it's also just really fun. It's over 100 games. It's aligned to those characters kids know from television, and also has great educational content in there. So Wildcrafts with animals and Math with Odd Squad, Curious George and Daniel Tiger's Neighborhood and Social Emotional Learning. So lots of things going on there. For parents of preschoolers, there is a new app out called PBS Kids for Parents Play and Learn Science.
Oh.
And it's science games for them to play together, but also it's giving parents tips and ideas for games to play away from the technology. Because we always want to try to take what we're learning in tech and bring it into the real world. So if you are playing on that app and you're playing with temperature and thinking about what you wear when it's colder outside versus hotter, you can take that right into the real world the next time you're in the closet and remind them what they played with on the app and start making those connections.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, we're going to be sick with links to PBS Kids Digital in the show notes for this. And Sarah, you recently gave a TED Talk as well. Tell us about that experience real quick.
So that was a crazy experience, but a lot of fun. I was talking about screen time and the anxiety that parents have about screens, and just trying to turn the conversation a little bit. Instead of being so afraid, let's think about how we can manage this, how we can be in control instead of letting the technology run our lives. Because there's some really great things we can do with screens if we're really actively engaged with their kids, with our kids with them.
I tell you what, in 2018, we asked a lot of questions about the technology, and I'm speaking about an adult level.
Right.
And in 2019, I think we're going to answer a lot of those questions, and I think that this is a critical one that needs to be answered. I'm glad you're addressing it. We've been speaking with Sarah DeWitt, Vice President of PBS Kids Digital. This has been a ton of fun and informative. I hope we can talk again soon.
Yes, me too. Thanks so much.
Thank you. That was Sarah DeWitt. She's Vice President of PBS Kids Digital. We have links to Sarah and the data she referenced here. It's in the podcast notes or the show notes. And they live at KGORadio.com. And that's it for this week on the broadcast. My thanks to all of our guests and also to you for listening. We are at Facebook.com/TechonomicsRadio, KGORadio.com, and I'm on Twitter at KGOJason. And for executive producer Lee Hammer, I am the host and the writer, Jason Middleton. This has been Techonomics. Have great weeks, everybody.